You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, the host, and I'm glad that you could join us on this episode as we begin a series of KidMin influencers and people that are on the front line of kid ministry to find out what's going on around the kid ministry world. And so I'm excited to launch this series of interviews, and I've got a friend of mine, Brandon Horst, is on the episode with me. Brandon, welcome to the KMC.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be on.
Well, we're glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're at, what you do, what church you serve in, what's your favorite cereal? I don't care. Whatever you'd like to share.
Sure. This December, I'll be celebrating my fifth anniversary with my wife. So that's exciting. We have two kids. We have a girl, Emery, who's about to turn four, and a son, Tristan, who's actually turning one this coming Tuesday. So that kind of keeps us busy at home, but we love it. We're enjoying everything that comes with that, except maybe the exhaustion. I serve at a church called Centerpoint in Fairfax, Virginia, about 10 miles outside of Washington, D.C., so really close. I oversee birth through high school, but I actually have my hands in elementary. So there's a director for preschool and a couple of volunteers for youth. I kind of do a big picture with them, and then within elementary, kind of more in the details.
Excellent. And you do a little blogging, and that's what kind of inspired this episode a little bit too. You were talking about doing a fall festival during church, and I thought, you know what, this would be a good way. As I know, a lot of people have already into by the time they hear this episode, but you know, we're also getting into the holiday season, and so I think this could be some interesting ideas for even as we go into the Christmas, New Year's time of year around church world. And so, Brandon, tell us a little bit about this whole idea of doing a fall festival during church. What is it? What is it that you're talking about?
Well, basically, it's kind of whittling down kind of that huge festival that you think of when you look at what churches normally put on, kind of whittling that down to a miniature version of that. And so this year it's going to basically look like we're going to the first half of the service, watch a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. We're going to have popcorn and some apple cider for the kids to enjoy while they're watching the movie. Once the movie's finished, we'll do a short gospel presentation, because this is kind of a thing that we're really encouraging our kids to invite their non-Christian friends to. And if this is the only time that they come through the doors of the church, we want them to have that opportunity to hear and be able to respond to the gospel. And then after that, we're going to take things outside for the last 30, 40 minutes with three different stations that our small groups will go through. One will kind of be a miniature pumpkin chunking with water balloons. So we kind of have one of those big elastic water balloon launchers. Cool. That can throw water balloons like over a football field.
Awesome.
So they'll be doing that, trying to hit a target. Then we'll do a potato sack race, which is, it'll just be fun, really, to record the volunteers trying to do that. And then the last station will be a cookie walk, which is like a cake walk, if the listeners have ever done those. But basically, circle of numbers, and the kids walk around the circle to music. When the music stops, they stop on whatever number they're at, and then someone draws a piece of paper out of a hat with one of the numbers. Whichever kid's on that number, they get to go to the table, and they get to pick out a cookie.
Fine. Excellent. So you've got a variety of activities, and you're doing this during the church service. So why did you choose this approach instead of doing this as a separate, like a Friday or Saturday type event, which is typically when a lot of people do their fall festival kind of things? What made you choose to go this direction?
The big reason is because, like, at least where we're at in our area, like, our city puts on this huge fall festival, our county close by puts on a huge fall festival. Pretty much every church that you drive past in this area is doing their own fall festival. And we just kind of realized, like, we're not a huge church, first of all. And, like, even if we were a huge church, we still couldn't compete with the stuff that the city, towns, and county are putting on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, why don't we just kind of do it in a much smaller way that isn't going to cost a whole ton of money, that isn't going to really drain our core volunteers, and that's going to have the same effect, because the reason that we would do a fall festival would be to reach people in the community. And we're still able to do that because we're able to advertise it, just it being on a Sunday during church. But even more so, it gives our fans and we really push hard with them to just invite a neighbor, someone on the kids' sports team, someone at school, and to bring them along, because that's really the mission. We want people in our church to be reaching other people, because when relationships involved, like, the likelihood of someone visiting and becoming sticky and making this their church is much greater.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. So, have you, you know, what were some of the results, you know, and I'm assuming, have you done this before, or is this the first time, second time? How many times have you done this?
This will be the first time we're doing it for a fall festival.
Okay. Okay. So you've done these kind of approaches before. What's been the results of doing that, you know, on a Sunday versus at another time? What are you hoping to achieve, and what have you seen maybe from some of the other things you've done?
The kind of dual things we're hoping to achieve is, first of all, just, like, give our regular attending kids a really fun day that's off from the norm for them to look forward to coming to.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, like, when we do these and kids see, like, this is going to be a special day, we're going to be doing special things. Like, they get much more excited about bringing their friends to something like that.
Uh-huh, right.
And so they go out that week, and they'll invite them, they'll bring them, and then we have that opportunity. Like, with a normal fall festival, like, it can be really difficult to kind of have that gospel presentation, because people are just coming and going at different times throughout the whole event.
Right.
But doing it on a Sunday, like, you have all the kids together at one time, you get to do it more of, like, a program style than as a free-flowing style.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that gospel presentation, like, every single guest is going to be able to hear that and have an opportunity to respond.
Cool. Interesting. Interesting. Now, what other events besides Fall Festival have you tried this approach of doing it on Sunday? Have you done it with any other things?
Yeah, we did, like, in July. Like an indoor snowball fight. You got these little toy snowballs off Amazon. They kind of, like, feel like snowballs, but they don't melt, and they're soft. So pretty much impossible to hurt anyone with them. And we just kind of, we did snow cones with that. We did popcorn with that. And then we just kind of, our kids' area, we put out tables and chairs and different obstacles for, like, two teams to set up their defenses, and then they just went at it for the whole time.
Awesome.
And like it was so crazy. Like multiple kids afterwards were like, "This is the best Sunday I've ever had." And we're like, "It wasn't even that much. We like just put out like random tables and chairs and bought these snowballs off Amazon."
Yeah.
But it was just something that they really enjoyed, and they're beginning to enjoy inviting friends to as well.
See, I'm loving that you said that. You know, I've spent a lot of time in small to medium sized churches, and I know a lot of people, and that's part of why we do the KMC podcast, is because we know a lot of people. I mean, obviously, the vast majority of churches today are 500 and less in attendance, and some people go, "Well, I just can't figure out how to reach my community." And here you go. Here's a simple, easy way to do something on a Sunday morning where it's not going to tax your volunteers to ask them to come out to another night. Doesn't cost you a lot of money, but you can have fun. You can encourage evangelism amongst your kids to see their friends. I mean, how cool would that be to, you know, bring your friend to an indoor snowball fight in the middle of July and watch them come to know Christ? I mean, that's just awesome. You know, I hope that more of our listeners will get encouraged by this and go, "You know what? Instead of worrying about what I don't have, I'm going to look at what I do have and what can I do to create an event that won't cost me an arm and a leg." And it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. And yet the impact could be huge. I love it. I do. I think that's fantastic. So at the end of the podcast here, we'll give everybody an opportunity to get your contact info if they want to know more about what you do, and like I say, I know you wrote this up on your blog, so I would encourage folks to go check out your blog, so that you can see a little bit more about this. And then if you have questions, about the specifics of what Brandon has done, you can touch base with him and do that. So let me take a little turn on because, like I said, this is an episode that I wanted to do of just some people are doing frontline ministry. They're doing it in real life, real time. And so I'm just curious. I've been asking this question of other kid ministry leaders lately. What excites you about doing kids ministry today? What just really is like, "Wow, this is I'm so glad I'm doing this."
The biggest thing, and this really is kind of where my passion is and where I'm most excited, is kind of this greater desire within the church, at least our church in specific. I can't speak to every church. But this desire to, like, not just be this insulated institution that doesn't make a difference in the community, but, like, our people want to be out in the community. They want the community to know who we are. They want to help people who are part of the community, and they want to be part of a church that, if it stopped existing, like, people who didn't go to that church would actually miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know growing up, I went to a church that was completely opposite of that. Like, it was just, we never really did outreach. If we did outreach, it was kind of a half-hearted attempt. We never even thought about going into the community. It was all about trying to bring people to us rather than us going to them.
Right.
And I see that changing, and it really excites me because, like, I think that's the path to actually making an impact within the wider community, because at the end of the day, for so many different reasons, like, people just aren't walking through the doors of a church anymore.
Right.
Whether they went and they had a bad experience, or whether they just think, like, there's complete irrelevance within the church,
mm-hmm.
and that it won't really help them in their lives at all. But when we have an opportunity to go to them, when they see us helping people in our community who need that help, like, not only the people who are helped see, like, God and the church as this group of, you know, people who help others, like, the people we help are seeing what good we're doing, but then the onlookers, like, people in the community who are well off, who don't really need
right. That
sort of thing, like, they look around and see that someone is meeting that need, and that someone that's meeting that need is the church,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of like, "Well, maybe the church still does have a role in the community. Maybe the church isn't as irrelevant as we thought that it was."
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that because I was thinking of you know some of the stuff the stories that we're hearing out of Houston after the hurricanes and Florida after the hurricanes, and watching how the local churches, I mean, really outdid government agencies. I mean, the response of the body of Christ, capital C Church, was incredible. But not just for the physical needs, you know, the gutting out of houses and even some of the rebuild now, or just, you know, or the shelters, you know, and that kind of thing. The churches went way beyond, but it wasn't like, ooh, all right, now we've got them. Let's throw Jesus at them. In fact, I think a lot of the churches were just like, let's just be Jesus. We don't even have to use our words. We're going to put our actions into this one and let that speak. And the stories I'm hearing now, like you just said, the collateral viewer, the onlooker, that's the better word, of seeing this happen, they've been moved by it. And drawn back to the church. I think that's a very powerful statement that you just made. You know, more churches need to do that. So, what else excites you about doing kids ministry today?
All the communication opportunities is another thing that I really see a lot of opportunity in. We experiment a lot with different ways of texting parents. Different ways of emailing parents for birthdays. I make personalized videos for our kids that we email.
Cool.
And so, like, within all that technology, you have all these ways that you can communicate with parents and families when they're not at church.
Uh-huh.
And especially with, like, the increase of less attendance, like less frequent attendance.
Right.
Like, through texting, through email, and through really being able to easily personalize that, even in some ways, on a scale, you can personalize that with many people at once through different apps and services. Mm-hmm.
Can you share some of the thing? Because I think this is one of the things that I don't want somebody to think. Oh well, it's just me. You know, I'm in a small church. How am I supposed to have time? How long does it take you to do, and can maybe just share like one tool that you do that you've seen some good reward from real quick? I know I'm throwing a curveball at you, but.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, every month I'll go through and see what kids have birthdays, and also with our elementary volunteers, and I'll just make like a quick video on my computer, like saying, happy birthday, so-and-so. So, like, I use their name so they know that it's not, like, a canned sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of say, like, hope you have a great day. Can't wait to see what God does in your life this year. And then I'll send it to the email, and, like, the subject line will just be happy birthday video for blank kid's name. And it's just been so cool because, like, kids get so excited. Parents are super impressed by that.
Yeah.
And, like, through that, it just kind of fosters a love for our church within them a little more than if it would just be a card in the mail that I signed.
Oh, absolutely.
There's also, like, on Android, if you have an Android phone, a couple apps that allow you to kind of schedule group text out. And there's one, it doesn't allow you to schedule it, but it allows you to put people's names in to a text. So you can, like, text 100 people, but have it, like, be personalized to their name.
Wow, cool.
It's called Text Blaster.
Okay.
And I like using that with parents, so I can just be like, hey, and it has a field first name, so it'll go out to, hey, Susan, hey, Tyler. And so, like, I get a lot better response just by that little, like, using their name. Like, they, in their mind, it's an actual text to them. But, like, with me, all I'm doing is writing one text and pressing send. But to them, like, they're getting this individualized, personalized experience.
Yeah.
There's an app. Let's see if I can find the name of it here. just because of some of the limitations that Apple has on what they allow developers to do.
Right. Yep.
But SMS Scheduler, it allows you to create groups, like volunteers. You can do it volunteers by week. You can do all volunteers. You can do a group of your parents. And you can schedule everything out, which I love. So, like, and you can even set it to repeat. So if you want to just, like, check in with all your volunteers every month, ask for their prayer requests. You can create a list of your volunteers, and then you can schedule it to send out, like, the first of every month. And then you can put it on repeat so that, like, you don't even have to worry about it after that point, and all of a sudden, like, you'll forget it's the first of the month, and all of a sudden people will be like, oh, this is my prayer request. It's just nice because you can, like, automate something that's really meaningful to people.
Yeah.
And then, like, after they respond is where you really get to engage with them. And I'll even do that with, like, our seniors once they go into college. I just add them to, like, the college list. And one day every month, it'll send out a text saying, like, hey, I just wanted to check in, how college is going, let you know I'm praying for you.
Excellent.
And it's kind of like, it's so nice because you do it once and then you forget about it. But every month it's sending that out, letting kids know that you're thinking about them.
Yeah. Wow, that can be real powerful because that makes that continued connection. Man, good stuff, Brandon. Good stuff. Well, let me ask you this question then. Probably should ask this one first because that last section was really good. But let me ask you, what do you wish was different in kids ministry today? I'm just curious. That's been another question I've been asking leaders is, what do you wish was different?
Yeah, this was a really tough one. When I saw the questions when you sent them, and it took me a while to kind of like, because like I'm a guy who just kind of tries to see opportunity in everything, and with like, so like I'm not thinking that much about like what I wish was different or like what I, but as I did think about it, the one thing that kind of came to mind was just kind of like all of these kind of things that a lot of times we view as negative within culture that have to do with church, like youth sports kind of replacing church on Sundays, things like less regular attendance of families on Sundays. Sometimes it seems like most of the parents at our church seem to want spirituality to be this outsourced thing, like they want us to handle that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And even young people leaving the church, like, yeah, all these aren't great things. And if I could make them be the opposite, I would make them be the opposite. But within that, there's also opportunity. And that's what I wish was different. I wish that people wouldn't view these things as completely negative things, but more as opportunities to be exploited.
Yes. Yeah.
So like with youth sports, something we've started doing is any kid who plays on a sports team, like, will take a small group every month, and during our small group time, we'll have them make, like, homemade water bottle sleeves, put them on water bottles, and then kind of sign them just Center Point Church, and the kids will then deliver, like, those to their sports team. And again, it's like these parents and these kids, like, see that a church is giving them water bottles, and we're not expecting anything in return. We just want to, like, be known as servants within our community. And then things like less regular attendance, again, like all these digital communication opportunities where we can still stay connected with families, and many times in even more meaningful ways than a Sunday where, like, everyone's rushing around.
Mm-hmm.
Like a text conversation, you can get into life details a lot more with people than maybe you would have time for on a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And again, like with parents seeming to want to outsource spirituality, like it creates an opportunity for you to like make a better strategy to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just saying like this stinks, like you can say like, let's try some new things so that parents realize like they have more influence than us. Because that's probably the issue. They just think that, like, this is what we're good at. This is why God, part of the reason God created the church. But, like, it gives an opportunity for us to, like, communicate, no, that's not true. Like, you have so much more influence than us. And the same thing with, like, young people who seem to not be returning to the church like they should be. Like, it's an opportunity to change some things that we do to turn that around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. And I hope people caught on to what you were saying is let's, instead of wishing for what's different, and I know when I've done some coaching with some individuals, I always talk about, you know, yeah, let's stop talking about what we don't have or what we don't think we can accomplish to what can we do. And let's take the little things and let's capitalize on them. Let's look for opportunities. So yeah, instead of complaining, I see a lot on some of the different Facebook groups, a lot of people complaining about, you know, how bad attendance is, you know, that, you know, the research shows, you know, now it's regular attendance. It was 3 to 4 Sundays a month. Now it's down to 2 Sundays a month.
Yeah.
Well, instead of complaining about it, what do we do to reach those kids and those families that when they're not here those 2 weeks? And what should change in our programming so that those kids don't feel like they're missing something when they are here? You know, instead of doing church the same way we've always done it, when we had people here every Sunday, to now only having them here twice a month, what needs to change? We should be asking those questions as an opportunity to shift and to rethink things rather than sit there and complain about, well, that's the reality. We got to just deal with it. No, I think we respond to it. So I like what you said there. I think that's something that could be very powerful. And I hope that, you know, that people will do that. That's one of the reasons why I've partnered up with the guys from Ministry Accelerator, because we're dialoguing about those kind of questions and looking at some of the current realities to say, okay, what can we do to leverage the gospel? What do we do to redeem the time? And we're asking those kind of questions. How do we look at this in a different angle? What angle haven't we looked at it from? Because there's got to be something that we're missing sometimes, and so we want to investigate that more. So, good stuff. Well, let me ask you another question then. So, what's some things that you've done recently that helped you connect better with parents? I mean, you kind of shared a couple things, but I know you've got some other stuff. What are you doing that seems to have been working with you?
Something recent that we've just started doing, like the last month. Like, we found that, like, when I first came on staff here, we just had a large group. We didn't even have a small group within our kids' church. And so when I came in, I got connected with Orange Curriculum, which is what we still use and we really enjoy. But, like, within their curriculum, it's a large group, small group kind of format. So the first, like, year and a half was kind of transforming our culture and recruiting small group leaders and kind of getting that underway. And we found that, like, once the small groups got going, we became pretty good at, like, getting our kids to, like, answer one way that they could apply our lesson and share their prayer requests with their small group leaders. But we were really struggling, like, how do we get this information from the small group leaders to the parents? And, like, we've tried a whole bunch of things. Like, we tried, like, priming the kids to share it with their parents, and that mm-hmm. wasn't working. Then we tried to have our small group leaders text parents and just, like, with our small group leaders being either busy or some of them being uncomfortable with that, like, that wasn't working. And so now, just the past month, we've actually started doing mailing labels. And so it's kind of funny because it went, like, from trying to do it through technology to something more old school.
Yeah.
And so we give every small group leader a sheet of 10 mailing labels. I don't know the size, maybe an inch by a half inch.
Uh-huh.
And when they ask the application question, they write down the answer on the top half of the mailing label. And then when they have prayer requests on during prayer time, they write the kid's prayer request on the bottom half. And then in one of the corners, they'll write the kid's name. And then they'll send that sheet out to me or another volunteer, and we'll put each label on the family devotional that we send home with parents. So then when parents come to pick up their kids, like, they have this very personal response of their kids to a really applicable question, like, that requires an action within the week. And they also see what their kid is wanting prayer for. And so they're able to take that home, and then during the week they're able to engage in the question knowing how the kid responded, rather than trying to pull an answer out from them in the car ride home or during the week. And they often know how to pray for their kid during the week. It's been really cool because, like, now we know that every parent is getting that feedback.
Right, right. I love it. Man, see? Going old school is not bad. I like that.
Yeah. I was just talking with someone about flannel boards and how they're coming back because kids don't know them. So now they're cool again.
Hey, that's how I got my start in kids ministry. I learned, in fact, I honestly think some of the best storytellers in the world got their start telling story. I mean, people have complimented me on my storytelling and they're like, how do you do that? Well, I learned because I had to tell a story with a flannel board. It had to be animated. You had to make that story come alive. But yeah, nowadays when you take a flannel graph board in with figures and stuff, the kids are like, "How's that stick? How do you do that?" You know, they've never seen this stuff before.
Yeah.
I tell people don't disrespect the old school stuff because sometimes it. You know, God can use any tool, and I don't think we should discount it, write it off, make fun of it, because, you know, you never know how God's going to use it and do that. So I think that's a great idea that, you know, it's a great way to connect the church and the home and to hopefully prevent, you know, the take-homes from becoming minivan floor liners.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, having it personalized, that I think, you know, they always say if you put a name on something, people are less likely to throw it away. So, you know, I like what you're doing there. That's very cool. Anything else that you've done that seems to just have really connected with parents?
The second thing that's been, like, more recent, like the last 6 months. So, like, I haven't been at this church a long time. It'll be 3 years in March, and this is my first ministry position. So I'm certainly, like, not a veteran, and I don't know everything. So, like, a lot of the things we do are kind of on the fly. Anything that I really talk about is pretty new because I haven't been doing it long enough. But within the last 6 months, we've actually transitioned our small groups away from kind of doing either activities or games to reinforce the large group lessons, and move them from that to actually doing service projects every single week. So some things that we've done is the kids have made cards to encourage some folks at a retirement home that we have a ministry to. They've also made, like, some origami for those people. We actually did a video for a missionary to help one of their classes to practice their English. Mm-hmm. We have a local children's hospital who asked us if we could, like, melt some crayons into muffin tins, because a lot of their kids kind of have issues with being able to hold a crayon. But we've made snack packs for a local nonprofit that helps low-income kids with their homework. We made snack packs for them to have snacks while they're getting help with homework. And so it's just like created all these opportunities within our surrounding community to be able to have conversations like, how can we serve you, and then to see we make a difference. But to bring this back to parents, like through that, every week we tell our kids, like, if you think of a project, let us know and we'll do it during small groups. If you're part of a team or another group that we can serve, like, brainstorm with your parents and bring us an idea, and we're going to do it in small groups. And so just recently, we've had a couple kids come up and like say, like, my Girl Scouts group, like, would you guys do something for them? Mm-hmm. And then we get to have like a discussion with that kid and their parents and like say, like, yeah, we'd love to do a project. Why don't you guys like talk together and come up with an idea and get back to me and we'll do it. And just like out of that, the discussions with parents has been really cool. Like, I think they're kind of realizing like this is something that can make a difference, that like we can do, that it's not like this cold conversation walking up to a parent at a game and
saying, yeah,
Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But kind of this more natural way that's not awkward, that's not uncomfortable, for like parents to let other parents know, for kids to let their friends know on sports teams or other groups that they're part of, that like church is important to them, and that like the church makes a difference. And like parents have been really appreciative of that and really receptive to those discussions and conversations, and to us kind of partnering with them to serve their kids' teams or other groups.
Yeah. Brandon, I love that. I mean, what you're doing is some deep discipleship with getting kids to start looking around them at the needs around them. You're helping, you know, you're really helping parents raise a kid that's not going to be self-centered, because you're helping them develop a heart for those in need around them, to look and to be creative, and that serving isn't going to look the same for everybody. Man, I love that. That's some good stuff. In fact, that could be a whole nother podcast, is just ways that we can take kids in deeper discipleship. I'm going to have to write that down. Cause that's one that I would love to get a panel on and discuss more. Because I think that's a huge need. We have these kids, well, we have adults that come to church and get fat and lazy spiritually, because all they do is intake. We do service in the summertime, you know, when we want to do our little mission strips, and I know that sounds harsh and critical, but it's like, hold it, what about the rest of the year, and what about that local community? It seems like it's way too easy for us in the church world today to go run around the world and do missions, when right in our own backyard you've got opportunities just that you named.
I was at a conference recently, and this is what they said, don't go across the globe if you're not willing to go across the street.
That's right. Wow, that's
powerful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, and I've preached this, that look at what Jesus's command was. I want you to go to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the other most parts of the earth. Why did he say that? Because he wanted them to be faithful right where they were first. Because if you can't win your own neighborhood, if you can't be for your neighbors, if you can't serve them and love them and be Jesus right there, how do you think you can go do this somewhere else? And that's what's boggled my mind. And again, I don't mean to sound critical of the church today, because I love the body of Christ. But my heart is challenged time and time again of, why is it so easy to fill up missions trips that take us out of our communities, but we don't want to serve in our own local church? You know, children's ministers every week, I know, are short-staffed because people would rather not give up their time, you know, to grace.
Yeah.
and I go back to, you know, Scripture, and Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Well, then feed my lambs. And I kind of ask the church world today, do you love Jesus? Well, then feed his lambs. Look around you at those people And lambs come in all shapes and sizes. I think that, you know, it wasn't talking about babies and kids. It was talking about people who are spiritually lambs. They need help. They need someone to guide them, to nurture them, to push them in the right direction, to keep them safe. And that's what the church is called out to do. And so, Brandon, I love what you're doing because you're helping kids see this now, that look around them. Start with my Jerusalem. Look at my neighborhood. Look at my sports team. Look at my classroom at school. How can I serve them and be Jesus? And then from there, be faithful to go and reach the other parts of the world. You know, we don't shirk our duty for the rest of the world, but we got to start now where we are. Man, good stuff, dude. Keep it up. I hope more people that are listening to this, their hearts are convicted like mine of just how, man, we are missing a golden opportunity, that if all we ever do on Sunday morning is teach our kids the stories, teach them how to follow Christ, but then don't show them how to put it into action, to put legs to it.
That's kind of, like, interestingly enough, where it started with, like, us. Like, we just kind of have, like, this conviction, like, we're telling our kids to serve, we're telling our kids to invite their friends, but we're, like, not giving them opportunities to do mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. so we're like, we're going to change that.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the things I've always done, and again, I guess I'm old school, but I've always spent time once or twice a year at least showing my kids how to share the gospel in their language. So I show them different tools, from the wordless book to the gospel bracelet to whatever. I try to give them a couple different methods that they can do on their own whenever the Spirit leads them to share Jesus. And then doing events like what you know, to take us back full circle, doing a fall festival in the church where their friends can come and know that, you know, when I invite my friend, he's going to hear the gospel. She's going to hear the gospel. And the more we do that and the kids hear the gospel presented, the more it becomes part of who they are. And then you're putting legs to them to say, hey, not only is the gospel words, but it's actions. Go serve. Go look for an opportunity, because that opportunity, you're building relationship. That relationship's going to give you permission to speak the gospel. I hope people will hear this episode and really start thinking about, what can I do? What start with one thing and do that one thing and help your kids, give them the opportunity to put their faith in action, not just show up at church every Sunday, get some stuff and go home. Man, we've got to do so much more than that.
I think like with all of this, sometimes it can kind of feel like this is an either or thing. Like you do a big fall festival or you do it during church. And like so much of this, it's more like it just, there's no silver bullets. There's no one thing that's mm-hmm. going to like change everything. Like it takes a combination of many things. So like maybe you still do a big fall festival, but you do a smaller one to invite people back to.
Yeah.
Or maybe you decide to do the smaller one and partner with the community one, partner with your local town and say, like, maybe we could do all the inflatables in your kids' area if you just let us put up our church sign.
Yeah.
So it's not just like you do this or the other thing. Like it's a combination. Like we have our kids serve in small groups, but we still give them ideas during the week to serve. So it's not just like we're doing this or that. It's more that we're doing both.
Yeah. Oh, love it. Love it. Well, final question as we wrap up this episode, I'd love to know what are you reading? Who are you reading? What's some of your influences?
Okay. So honestly, like over probably the past year with having two children, like I don't have time to read. I mean, I guess you make time for what's important, so I'm not finding time to read. Yeah. One book that I will mention is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, because like that, I think a lot of people have probably read that already, or at least heard of it. Mm-hmm. But like that completely changed my thinking in so many ways. And like all like quotes from it and principles and habits like pop into my head all the time still.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of helped me to really try hard to be someone who's always learning, who's always trying to understand others. And that's been super effective. And so I don't read a whole lot these days, but I do listen to tons of podcasts. So would it be okay if I shared a few podcasts?
Sure, yeah. Who are you listening to?
There's a podcast that's called the Growing Leaders Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a perspective, like, it studies, like, upcoming generations more from a education perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of the principles are applicable to church. And it's really helped give me an understanding of kind of how generationally kids learn, some things that schools are doing that we can start doing in churches. And it's just like super, super good, just kind of helping you to learn the generation that's coming up. I listened to the Nick Beth Levin's Family Ministry Podcast.
It's good stuff. I listened to that one.
Yeah. He does just a lot of good interviews with great people. I listened to the Club Leadership Podcast by Jim Weidman.
Jim Weidman, yes. Brother Jim's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of it is like just bringing back classics, but every once in a while he'll do it live. And
mm-hmm.
It's nice. Another podcast is called the D6 Family Ministry Podcast.
Yes.
They're just really practical. And then last one... and Tom did not ask me to do this, but I really enjoyed the Kids Ministry Collective podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you for that plug, but thank
you. Not getting paid for that one. but, like, you find really great people to interview, and you're really good at asking the right questions to kind of delve into a lot of practical things and also principles that have really kind of helped me grow as a kids leader. And so I want to thank you for that.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm honored to do this. I do it. I've always told people, I mean, the reason why we started this was based off the scripture of iron sharpens iron. And we wanted the KMC to be a collective group that sharpens each other, that challenges each other, that pushes children's ministry forward for the glory of God and his alone, not mine. I don't build a brand. I'm not building, you know, I'm not going to be a publisher, and I'm not selling a bunch of stuff. I just want to help people, and I want to see people grow, and cause I'm a learner, and it's time for me to start sharing that. So thank you. I appreciate that, Brandon. Well, I am sure, I've got to believe that there's going to be some out here listening. They're going to go, yeah, I'd like to talk more about this idea. And so Brandon, plug your blog away. It's a good blog. It's got some good information on it, and I'd encourage people to follow. He didn't pay me to say that. So tell people how to find you online and social media and all that.
Yeah, sure. I have, a blog at www.doingkidsmenbetter.com. Doingkidsmenbetter.com. And I'll be honest, like some of the older posts, like I've already found out that some of those ideas don't work as well as I thought they did. So maybe stick with some of the newer stuff. And I'm sure in a year or two, a lot of that will be antiquated as well. That's a great way to just kind of see some really practical ideas for kids ministry. It's not a great way to get in contact with me. The best way to get in contact with me is just to shoot me an email. Bhorst, Bhorst, at centerpointchurch.com. And that's centerpoint with an E on the end.
Okay. Very good. Well, thanks, Brandon, for being on this episode of the KMC. And again, like I said, if you're listening and you need encouragement, you need some help, you need some coaching, please get in touch with me. I'd be happy to help. I'm looking forward to what we can do. We've got some great episodes coming up, and got some giveaways and all sorts of stuff that's coming. So, be watching. If you're not part of the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, be sure to request, a membership to join that group. It's a great way to connect with other leaders, to interact. We're always having fun, coming up with new ideas and trying to push things forward, as well. So, you can get all my contact info off of there or follow me on Twitter at PTBump. And I'd be happy to help you out. So thanks again for listening to this episode of the KMC. And we'll look forward to sharpening our skills and our minds and our hearts again in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.